Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian, I'm a writer, I am one half of the Scummy Mummies. I just like to say I run slow, but I drink fast. And today I'm very thrilled to announce, I'm announcing this, my guest for today is Sharifa. Hello, Sharifa.
Hello.
My Sharifa, you're a model and you're the co-founder of Shine for Diversity.
Yes, that's me.
Now, we know what modelling is, but what is Shine for Diversity?
So, Shine for Diversity is my non-profit organization that I created to encourage brands and the media in general to be more inclusive of people of color. Mm-hmm. So it founded in Australia and we're still pushing our message just to promote diversity, inclusion across all platforms in the media and just create equal opportunities for artists of all ethnicities.
Yeah. And so do you want to tell the listener about what your background is? Have you been a model since forever?
Since day one.
Always modelling. You came out modelling.
I think I was scouted when I was about 21, or maybe, because it was quite late. Mm-hmm. I was just walking along an Oxford Circus and someone was like, yo, do you want to be a model? And
Shut up. Does that actually happen?
Yeah, it actually happens. But at the time, I remember, I think I was probably about a size 12 at the time and someone came up to me and was like, I think you should be a plus size model. And I was really offended. I was like, how dare you?
A 12 is a teeny size.
What do you mean? I'm so skinny. How could you say? But then it was probably a period of time, maybe 3 or 4 months, people kept mentioning it to me.
Yeah.
I got given a couple of cards by different agencies and eventually I went to an agency and I said, oh, okay then.
Can I do this? Will you give me money for wearing clothes,
exactly,
please?
And at the time I was in musical theatre, so I was auditioning in the day and then I was moonlighting as a waitress at night in this, you know, those dingy
like a
clubs.
Film.
It was just like a movie. And I had no sleep and I wasn't making very much money at all. And I remember turning up to my first modelling job casting and then like booking the job on the spot, and it was the most money I'd had in like 10 years or something.
Did they just give it to you like in a money
gun?
They just
gave it to me. And I was like, well, I think I'll stay and do this.
Oh my God.
I don't have to moonlight anymore.
And you've gone into the plus size modelling, but I mean, it is just modelling. Do you have a problem with the word plus size at all, or is it something you own, or...
I know this is a big topic of debate, isn't
it? Yeah.
The plus size thing. I personally have never had a problem with it. I think because, you know, if you say to somebody, I'm a model, and then people still have an idea of what a model looks like.
Yeah.
And so they kind of take one look at you, look you up and down, and that you can see their brain searching for the answer.
Yeah.
What does she mean? She says model, but she looks so different to a regular one. So it just makes life easier if you then quickly clarify, oh, I'm a plus size model. And then, you know, they're suddenly at ease and they go, I see.
You've made me feel better about
now
my prejudice.
I know. But if you actually try and say I'm a curve model, they're like, what's a curvy model? You know, they get really confused. So
yeah.
I think that you plus size model is just the easiest terminology. But I know that a lot of curve women do feel offended or a bit upset by that word. And why can't we just be called models? At the end of the day, we get paid the same amount. Mm. We do the same job. We're all in the, you know, I very often work in a studio next to men and women of, you know, we say straight size or regular size models. And, you know, we're all there. We're doing the same job. So why do we have to be segregated? I guess I can see that that argument, but it's just never really bothered me.
Yeah,
personally.
No, that's really good to know, actually, because it is one of those things that has come up recently when the world is changing and looking for diverse sizes, diverse backgrounds. And it's like, do we have to label, can't we just all be models together, basically?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a bit. So this is a podcast about bodies. So I'd love you to tell the listener how you feel about your body today.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm 27, and yeah. I think, I don't know if it's an kind of coming to the tail end of my 20s, and I've done this whole journey of self-discovery. I don't know if it's got something to do with that, but at the moment, I would say this is the best I've ever felt about my body. I'm genuinely really comfortable with my whole body, and even like I really genuinely embrace the imperfections and the flaws. I don't even see them as imperfections. I used to have this huge thing about the veins on my legs. Mm-hmm. You know, I have like those under the skin, you know, those ones that are going to become like big poppy outy varicose veins, yeah, one day, you know. And the doctor said to me when I went to see, like, oh, that's going to be a really big one. And I used to get awesome. So upset, yeah, about it. I used to catch myself in the gym mirror or the yoga studio mirror, and I'd see the veins and I would actually start like tearing up because it really upset me. Mm. But now I look down at them and I'm like, well, it's just my body, and yeah, it is how it is. So even things like the veins and the cellulite, the stretch marks, I've really just become comfortable with them.
Yeah.
I think it comes from a place of when I was at drama school, because many years ago I trained at drama school, so I was about half the weight that I am now. I was probably about 8 stone. I'm not quite 8 stone now.
What?
But, you know, I was really, really skinny, and it was so hard for me to stay that way. And I definitely had an undiagnosed eating disorder. Mm. I went through on cycles of how few calories can I eat a day. I would count my tubes of pasta. I would have only 6 tubes of pasta per week. I would try and have 100 calories per day. And actually, in my first year of drama school, I lost 4 stone.
God,
because I was quite big, and yeah, then I lost all this weight, and I was congratulated by my teachers for losing all this weight, because I was at a school where they were always focusing on the size of your body. The smaller you are, the more successful you'll be as a dancer. And I had a scholarship to this school as well, so there was a lot of pressure on me to achieve and perform well.
Yeah,
and so I would definitely say that being there encouraged me to have a bit of an eating disorder.
Absolutely, because I've spoken to other actresses about this, and they said they were encouraged not to eat, like over the weekend, just don't eat,
yep,
you know,
yep,
just slim yourself down a dress size.
Definitely.
And, you know, and if you're a size 10, you have to be a size 8. And we've talked about this on the podcast.
And I just want to add that I actually had some teachers who would walk past me in the hallway. If I had an apple in my hand or a banana in my hand, even something healthy, they would take it out of my hand and they would throw it in the bin.
Shut up.
Yeah, and that was and you think if you're really young and impressionable.
Oh my God, just, I want to hug young Sharifa.
I know, I want to hug young Sharifa too. And it was actually really hard to take myself out of that. It took me years to rebuild that myself, to the point of where I think only in the last couple of years, even though my body has completely changed and I'm bigger now and I'm curvier now, even to look at myself and say, it's okay that I look like this.
Oh my God,
I always had
cry.
That little devil on my shoulder telling me that I was, even though I was being paid to be the size I am now, and people were celebrating me for my size, I was still hating my reflection.
Yeah.
And so only in the last couple of years has my relationship, my body really, truly changed, and I really am comfortable with who I am now. But it's been a journey.
That is an incredible journey. Thank you for sharing that, because that's really powerful. And I know there'll be so many listeners thinking the same thing, that they've had, whether it's a teacher or their mom or their dad or whoever has influenced them, saying, no, you've only just lost a bit of weight. I've had my own brother saying, have you ever thought of losing weight? You'd look so pretty. But those things will go around your head in a loop.
Yeah.
And that will define how you value yourself.
And it all comes down to the media, really, and how they portray this idea of, to be beautiful, you have to be this size and you have to have X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And it's just such a shame that people are still growing up and feeling this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And I wonder if you went back to the same college, whether those teachers or that kind of ethos is still Do you think much has changed in that, in the sort of acting and dancing world?
No, I don't think so. I actually, I think it's going to take many, many years. So I don't know if it ever will change, really. I mean, I did actually, when I was in Australia recently, I did actually meet up with my old teacher from my drama school. And she was, bless her, she was lovely, but still very much the same. And she, I could kind of see her reaction looking at me, double the size, and kind of, she said, oh, wow. Oh, you look well.
Isn't that
searching for the words, the right words. God. Really, in her head, she's thinking, "Wow, my gosh, you look like a whale."
Oh my god! You can see the eyes, but sometimes the face doesn't match the mouth.
Yes, exactly.
the words that come out. We should do some kind of diagram where we have the word fat and then all the other words that people have said.
Yeah.
We'll workshop that, people. We'll get well fed.
Yeah.
You look. Yeah. You look happy.
The one when we were doing the run the other day that me and G thought was really hilarious was when we were running, people were saying, "Well done, you're so brave."
Yeah.
It's like, well, do you tell the Victoria's Secret women that they're brave?
No!
Just for wearing their bikinis, you know.
I know, someone said that to me as I ran past. She said, "Oh, you're so brave." I said, yeah, that's one word for it. Like, you know, like Ellie and I get told that all the time when we get off the stage in our gold cat suits. Like, oh, you're so brave.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, I think you either mean insane or fat or both.
Yeah, exactly.
You mad fat witch.
Yes, it's so true. It's so true.
Oh, my God. So this wonderful journey that you've had, so you've had, you know, what would say almost abusive relationship from, you know, people who you trusted. Like, you're going to college, you've got this amazing kind of scholarship, and then people are saying, you've got to be smaller, and that is perfect. I want to come back to the Shine for Diversity. Let's talk about your time in Australia. So you spent 2 years, was that right, in Australia recently?
Yeah, 2 years.
As a model?
2 years in Australia, yeah.
Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I loved Australia. It's a really nice...
You don't have to say that, even though I'm Australian. I love your country.
I love your country. Please don't hurt me. no, I really loved Australia. I think stepping off the plane in Australia, my initial thought was looking around, where are all the black people?
Yep.
I did think that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
To the point of where... when I would see another person of colour, or particularly a black person, it would be like a Jambo kind of situation. I think I remember actually getting onto one of your fabulous double-decker trains in Sydney and seeing somebody on the top deck, and they saw me, and we locked eyes, and then they just went, "Hello, my sister." I was like, "Hello." You know, I don't even talk like this. I'm British. Why am I suddenly from Africa? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But Australia was, I expected it to be so much like the UK.
Yeah.
But in fact, it was really deceiving, because it's like, you guys look the same as us.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, a mostly white population.
Mm-hmm.
Your culture is very similar to ours, but in some ways so different as well. The banter. I love the accent. I mean, I just love the Aussie accent. I like all the words now are fair dinkums, mate. You know?
Very good accent.
Thanks very much, mate. Yeah, no,
oh
yeah,
my
so,
God, it's like Nicole Kidman's in the room.
Right, exactly, mate. So I tell you something. So, I like the Aussies as a group of people. I like Aussies, but I did find it difficult being there. In my first 3 months or so, I felt really out of place. And people were staring at me a lot.
Yeah.
I think just seeing like a size 18 mixed race woman with a giant afro walking down the street, like feeling perfectly comfortable. I think people were just shocked like to see that. And it was rare that I saw another person that had a same look to me. But it actually really worked to my advantage, because the Australian market was trying to be more diverse.
Okay.
Which is wonderful. Trying to be more diverse. I mean, yeah. Just trying.
Trying. We're not saying they've got there yet, but you felt there was an effort to change
the
landscape of models.
Exactly.
And
they were really gunning for it. And so that was great, because I worked a lot because of it. But in saying that, I worked a lot, but in a very kind of tokenistic.
Right.
It would be me and then nine other, so it'd be nine white girls, and then one of me, and then
like,
when I
and why am I here?
Yeah, and then when I'd get there, there would always be problems with how to style my hair. No one would know how to style my hair. I had makeup artists refusing to style my hair on set.
Fuck off!
And storming away when they saw me, and not wanting to deal with me because they don't want to or, you know, why didn't anyone tell me I was going to have to, you know, or they touch my hair and look like they were going to cry. Bless
you. Shut
them.
Up.
But then on the other end of the spectrum, there were so many hair and makeup artists who I've become amazing friends with who were like, I'm going to be really honest. I've never dealt with your hair before. Can you tell me what to do? And they've gotten in there and they've done their best. And after 2 years of working with them, they're like Afro experts now.
You've changed lives, babes.
Yeah, I'm changing lives, mate. But yeah, I think for me, I particularly found it just really shocking in the media, particularly just to see when you turn on the TV, like rarely any Aboriginal, Indigenous people, which is strange considering it's an Aboriginal, Indigenous country.
Yeah, they own that country. That's their country. But I tell my children, I say, you know, it's only been a white country for a couple of hundred years, mm-hmm. the Aborigines had. It's been theirs forever, millions of years.
Yeah.
That's their country and we are visitors.
Yeah, and it really felt like there was absolutely no representation for them in a positive way whatsoever.
No.
I found that really, really hard. And I volunteered for 6 months at the Indigenous Literacy Foundation and I was helping out with their social media. And when I was there, I learned a lot about the Indigenous culture and kind of what they've had to deal with and also how they're being treated today.
Mm.
And I did find it really tough and really heartbreaking, and a few comments I even had about, I specifically remember somebody telling me, oh, you don't understand, you know, the Indigenous people, the Aboriginal people, they're just a bad race.
Fuck. Yeah.
And here's me like trying my hardest to hold it in. And this would be at events and, in places where you just can't really speak your mind appropriately. So I did find that really, really tough.
No, I because I grew up there until I was 27, so your age. And then as soon as I moved to the UK, I went, oh my fucking God, that country is really racist. And just looking back, like we, from my year six play, we blacked up.
Lovely.
Love
it.
There was the Jackson Fives where people wore afros and paid themselves back. And I was like, that's not okay.
No.
How is that all right?
It's not okay.
It's not okay
it's
at
like,
all.
You know, being there, I basically felt like a novelty toy.
Yeah.
Everything that I did, everywhere that I went, the comments that I got. I mean, I even, just before I left Australia, so it would be 3 months ago now. So it's about 4 months ago. I got into an Uber. I was on my way to the hairdresser.
Mm.
And I got into an Uber. And the Uber driver said, oh, where are you off to, mate? I'm going to try and do my Australian accent.
Okay, please.
He's like, oh, morning, mate. Where are you off to, mate? I said, oh, I'm just going to the hairdresser. He went, oh, thank God for that. Your hair does look really fluffy, really frizzy, doesn't it? And I said, well, I mean, I'm not going to get the texture changed. I'm going to get the haircut. And then he said, do you know what you look like? So here's me thinking, okay, he's going to try and reference the only like black person he can think of. So it'll be Tina Turner.
Yeah.
It might be Khalees or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm all right with that.
Right.
I've had that in the past.
You're prepping yourself. You're preparing.
He went, you look exactly like my sister's gollywog.
No! Oh my God!
You look exactly like, and then he carried on. He said, the big round hair, the big smiling face. And so I actually filmed this and I put it on my Instagram. And I must have had like 200 comments on my Instagram stories. Like, what is this guy saying? And I tried to explain to him really like politely and casually, just so you know, sir, it is quite inappropriate and offensive that you say. He's, oh no, I'm just an Australian man. You know, you can't say anything these days. Then he went on to talk about how,
just picking my jaw off the floor. Fucking hell.
He went on to say how his favorite drink is a Black Panther, and he went into a bar once and he asked for a Black Panther to this black man, and then he said, I would like the drink that looks the same as you, a Black Panther.
Fuck me.
And then he couldn't understand why the barman was offended. And it's just, you know, it was
just
a lot.
Just jokes, man. Just jokes.
I'm just an Australian man.
I'm just saying like
it is. You know what I mean? Just like it is, mate.
fucking hell. The world has got to change.
It has, yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I had a couple of things as well where I went into a bar once and some chick ran up to me and like grabbed my hair and said, "I'm really sorry, but those guys over there bet me to come up to you, grab your hair and say, I'm Foxy Cleopatra." And there was this whole group of, this whole table of people just laughing at me. My friends were there like fighting my corner. Like my friend Dane, who's amazing. He's like a proper like camp Australian. He was going over there and he went, "You guys are racist. Get out." Like ordered them out of this bar. And then, you know, but the thing is, where you have some people like that, you also have some people who really
angels.
Who are really like sickened by it and are shocked and horrified that people in their country would behave like that.
Yeah.
And I do think you can get the same thing in the UK as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And look, you know, we're not just Australian bashing. And also, you know, some of my best friends are Australian. I'm Australian. My family are Australians. Yeah. We're not all cunts.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I would say when I say this about Australia, I would never want people to think I don't like Australia because I actually love Australia.
Yeah.
And that's the very reason I created Shine for Diversity, because I wanted it to be a better, a more inclusive place. And when people, you know, young people growing up in Australia who are of colour can actually look at the media and see representations of themselves. Because, you know, as Beyonce said famously in her documentary, if anyone's seen it, you know, at the end, there's a beautiful quote and it says, you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. I think you need to have these positive representations of yourself, you know, in the media and on TV and in the films and in magazines to be able to say, well, they did it. I can do it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's incredible. And I think that's it. And we had Natalie from Star Me Sunday on. And
she was, I love her.
She was amazing. And she said, look, when she was growing up, there was no one that looked like her. And she wanted to make her afro flat. And is that the right word to say? Straighten, not flat. Flatten her afro. Sorry.
That's the look. That's the look.
Flat afro. Sounds like a band.
It's like flat earth theory, but a bit different than flat afro theory.
Such a cunt. I'm Australian, all right? Oh, God, it's gone so pear-shaped. Anyway, straighten her afro. I'm a terrible person. Sorry, Natalie and everyone with afros. Yes, she was saying that there was no one that looked like her, and now that her daughters are growing up, they're saying it's so important to them, and they get excited that, "Mummy, that girl's got an afro, and that girl looks like me," and you feel a sense of value, and there's and it is so important, and that you don't just see white faces everywhere.
It is so important, and I mean, I don't know if this is a question that you have for me in the future, but something that I'm creating at the moment, I just did a little partnership with the Afro Hair and Beauty Show Live, which was on last weekend in Angel, and it's an amazing black hair convention. And I went and I did some filming for Shine for Diversity, and our next campaign is highlighting the all the different black hair styles and that you actually never see in the media. You know, you very often just see like two hairstyles for a black person. It would be like a straight hair wig, that shaved off no hair look.
Yeah.
Or it will be like an afro, but not an afro that necessarily sticks up. It will be one that kind of curly, floppy, downy, bounces around.
Yeah.
A more kind of Eurocentric version.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the idea of our next campaign is to talk about all the many different hairstyles you can have in black beauty and why they should be represented more in the media rather than just like one or two looks or kind of a stereotypical black girl with straight hair or black girl with a bouncy downy afro.
Yeah.
There's like 10 other looks that nobody ever sees.
Exactly. And there's a fantastic Instagrammer called Freddie Harrell who has her own afro hair products. And she did a thing for Stylist magazine, I think. And then she went round to different hairdressers in London, and she sort of did secret filming and like, can you cut my hair? And so many people refused to cut her hair.
Oh yeah, I've had that. I mean, that's been the story of my life. Even in here, when I was over in Australia, I had a really bad haircut. Oh my gosh. It shouldn't be like that. Mm. You shouldn't be such a challenge to just be who you are as a person of colour.
Yeah.
It shouldn't, you know, or this idea that you have to change yourself to fit into a more Eurocentric kind of white mould to be accepted.
Yeah.
Which I've kind of had trouble with in the past a lot within my job.
Yeah, and feel like you have to apologise. I'm really sorry, my hair is difficult for you. No, you're not skilled enough for my hair.
Yeah, and they don't even teach. This is another thing with Afro hair or black hair in general. They don't even teach it in the syllabus in most like hair schools over here and also in Australia. So a lot of hairdressers that I meet along the way and I work for some, you know, big well-known brands, and most of their hairstylists have never touched an afro, or if they have, they've got one product and they don't really know how to. And it's not their fault. I'm not blaming them, but also they, you know, how on earth can we be showing this in the media if the people don't even know how to deal with the hair or the skin tones, you know, black people going and trying to, you know, you have makeup artists that don't even have darker shades or foundation, and it's like black girls are having to bring their own foundation to big campaign shoots that they're getting paid like £10,000-£15,000 for, and somebody doesn't even have your shade of makeup. It's like, what?
Things need to change.
Yeah,
what's happening next with you, Sharifa? What so obviously more work with Shine for Diversity, and what campaigns can we see you in coming up? Have you got some brands you're working with or things you're doing?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm really focusing on Shine for Diversity. I'm back here now, having been out of the London market for a while. So I've kind of been building up my new lovely client base. I've been working with some nice people recently, like Monsoon Accessorize and a few different people. But I think it's a good question, actually. What is next for me? Oh, what's the answer?
What would you like to do? And because I know when we were getting a terrible coffee in Old Street, you were saying you'd like to do some more presenting work.
Yeah, I did quite a bit of presenting
more
work.
More talking
in Australia.
Stuff. I'm doing the international sign for talking. I'm moving my hands about. You'd like to do some talking.
Yeah,
things.
Definitely. Like, presenting has always been something that I've dabbled in, and I think I'll be moving more into presenting over the next, hopefully the next few months.
Yeah.
So, doing a bit more of that, working on Shine for Diversity, just pushing the campaign and trying to encourage people to share the message, but also understand that people of colour are not always complaining, like angry black people complaining about, like, we're not in anything. Mm. You know, it's not like that. It's about trying to create a more inclusive society overall. Mm. That's the thing for me. I think that's probably what I'll be up to for the foreseeable future.
And oh my God, I've completely forgotten to say this. 2 days ago, Sharifa and I ran 10K.
We did.
We've been fucking banging on about it for weeks, and now
literally.
I haven't even could not shut us up about the fact we ran in our pants. Can we quickly mention that? So we were part of a thing called Celebrate You, which was the Vitality 10K in London, and that happened on the 27th of May. And nearly 1,000 women ran in their knickers and bras, and we were just fucking awesome. How did you feel?
Oh, it was incredible. I loved it. I didn't expect it to feel quite as overwhelmed as I did on the day. But even just getting there, you know, when we were in a little tent at the beginning, all getting changed and stripping off, and to see all these women like just stripping off, and we're all just there, you know, we all laid it bare. It was quite a warm day, wasn't it? I didn't expect it to be so hot.
I got a bit of. You can see.
Ah,
I mean, you can
nice.
See it. The listener can't.
Yeah.
It's fucking audio. I got a nice burn on my chest. That was nice. It was really hot.
It was really hot, and the pollen count was really high.
Ate pollen
literally the whole entire time.
The whole way around.
So I barely spoke for like 2 hours because I just every time I was like the whole entire time.
I wish
time.
The Queen would sort that out. It was a real inconvenience
it
having
was,
all that pollen in my mouth.
But it was incredible. I was running with I kind of had my established my little pod.
Yeah.
So I was running with like Giovanna, Andrea McLean from Loose Women, Anna from the Running Channel, and we had our little like pod, and it was amazing because I was like right at the back of this little pod the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at me like, come on, Sharifa, you can do it. And I a few times I actually thought I'm going to faint. That's it. But Anna Sarah from the running channel, by the way, if anybody, and I said this on my Instagram yesterday, anybody who wants to get into running, go to the running channel and check out some of her videos, because she coached me through that 10K.
Fantastic.
Every time I thought I was going to fall over, she'd just look at me and say, Sharifa, head up, one foot in front of the other, breathe, you can do it. And she really got me through. I wouldn't have been able to do it. And then just before we got to the finish line, I think it was 50 meters, we all looked at each other and said, right, guys, are we going to sprint? Then we sprinted to the end. And then when we sprinted to the end and we got there, Jessica Ennis was standing there.
What, the Olympian?
The Olympian Jessica Ennis was just standing there and
Dame
embraced
Jessica
us
Ennis.
In
oh my
a group
God.
Hug. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Your life is a fucking film, mate.
My life is a movie. This is the best day ever. So it was really incredible. I have to say, I'm feeling quite sore.
Yeah.
At the moment. But
my thighs are not happy with me.
Right?
But yeah.
Me and Jada went for a lovely infrared sauna yesterday.
What does that mean?
It's like a microwave.
Yeah.
You basically like get inside it and it cooks you from the inside and makes
lovely.
You sweat. And like, it was just really nice.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's excellent. What it means. Sounds almost sexual. Okay, yes. Great. Anyway, running chat done. Okay. Now I'm going to finish off the podcast with a bit of quick fire round. Are you ready, Sharifa?
Yeah.
Let's go. First question. What makes you feel sexy?
What makes me feel sexy? I really think what makes me feel sexy is being able to be the true version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to wear my hair natural, you know, good skincare routine, nice pair of knickers, you know, a comfortable pair of trousers. I've got my Simon Cowell trousers on today.
She's got a lovely height now, because there's some curvy ladies listening there, and a lot of people follow me on Helen Wears a Size 18. What jean would you recommend for a size 18 lass?
What brand?
Yeah, what brand?
I'm currently wearing, what is this brand called? Juno Rose.
Juno
Rose. And I think they're quite good. And I also, I've been working with New Look recently, and I would definitely recommend that they've got a good pair of jeans as well.
Awesome.
Plus size gals.
Thank you for that little tip.
Nice.
So that's what makes you feel sexy. Good knickers, fresh face.
Yeah.
Amazing hair. Yeah. Excellent. Good. What's your most favourite thing to put in your body, Sharifa?
I like this one.
Good. I like when the guest compliments my questions.
Do you know what? I have these things. They're called I think they're called Kegel balls.
Oh, yes.
Right? And they're like these two little balls, mm-hmm. and you put them inside.
Up you. Yep.
And they basically make everything a bit more like...
Ooh, like a little exercise, like a little clenching
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And then when you're finished, you pull them out and then you do that every day and you have like different weights on them.
Oh.
So you move up in a weight class, you know. Oh. So I'm currently on like a low weight, but you can become like a medium weight, heavyweight.
Then you've got like your guns in your vanny.
Exactly.
In your vanny? That's a new one. I haven't heard it called that before. Wow.
So that's my favourite thing. I got them from, what is it, Honey Burdette.
Oh,
yeah.
Another good tip. I'm going to put these in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
New look jeans.
New look jeans.
Kegel balls.
Get yourself some Kegel balls.
Kegel balls, sorry. It's my accent. Can't blame me. I'm Australian.
I'm just an Australian man.
I'm just going to put that on a t-shirt. I'm an Australian man. I can get away with fucking anything. Most embarrassing body moment, Sharifa.
Do you know what? Like, most embarrassing body moment. I think I have them regularly.
Yeah.
I'm that person who, if you tell me a funny enough joke, I will fall onto the floor and be in stitches for about 10 minutes. And naturally, every time that happens to me, I just pee.
Just a teeny bit of pee.
Just about 5 or 10 milliliters. So I think I have I tend to get into these laughing fits at least once a week. So
yeah.
At least once a week, I've wet myself.
I mean, I love you.
Just being honest. I have a strong feeling this is why I'm still single.
No.
This honesty.
Not. I'm married and I wet myself almost daily.
Perfect.
So don't worry.
Perfect.
I've had the coughs recently and I had to go through, I went through three pairs of knickers just to try and make you feel better. I was like, it was like the first few coughs are fine, but it's the surprising big cough at the end. You're like, oh, damn it.
Oh, no.
Fuck it.
I was having such a good day.
Oh, I was dry up until then. Shit. Oh, dear. Fat facts. I thought I'd do running facts because we're now technically runners.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
we
a
can
marathon
say that.
Runner now, yeah.
Did you know that 60% of women feel more attractive while running? Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yeah. You know? I actually did feel quite... Do you mean like the whilst you're running, you feel...
Yeah, so 60% of women say they feel more attractive while they're running.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, and 80% of men say that. So, but I think that's such a man thing, though.
Men do look quite attractive running, though, don't they? Everything, you know.
Like, hello. Yeah. And do you know most people straighten up when they see the opposite sex coming towards them? Would you agree with that? Like, so, like, you know, you suddenly, like... Put your shoulders back, put your tits out, heads up when you see a hot guy coming toward you.
Depends how far into the run I am.
Otherwise, you just don't fucking care.
Because, like, crawling about 8K in, I was like, my arms and legs were flailing around and my head was down.
I needed runner Anna with me.
Yeah, you did.
The problem with my run, I did it quite slowly, but I really needed a piss from the get-go. And then I felt like my fanny was falling out and I was going into different cafes along the way. So I took an hour and a half to get there. I probably would have been a lot
quicker. Going into cafes? Were you just going and getting coffees or something?
Yeah, yeah. Just got a latte, quick focaccia.
Quick focaccia.
Little oat muffin. And then people were like, did you just get a coffee? I was like, no, my vagina was falling out and I had to tuck it back in. And then they kept running away from me. And then I needed to do a poo, but then I couldn't do a poo.
Right.
And then, yeah, so I was just having a lovely time, basically. And I took a really long time. Now, finally, I want one more fact is that orgasms increase if you're a runner. Apparently, your orgasms increase by 26%.
Okay.
I mean, how they quantify this? How is it a better orgasm or your orgasm more frequently? I don't know. But
is it you have more orgasms because you're more attractive? Yeah. Because you've been running more.
So and your body's
more toned. So you're attracting more people to you to bring you more orgasms.
So, or maybe it just happens in the park. You're just running around, fucking everyone. You're more attractive. You're putting yourself out there.
That's really what you were doing, isn't it?
When exactly. You were, I was
just screwing
everyone.
I'm going to the cafe to go to the
I took
toilet.
Out a drummer. I took out someone in a choir. That was one of the loveliest things, actually, doing that run, was that there were choirs. I mean, that's what you need every day when you're running around the park, just random choirs and steel drums.
They were helpful. They were great. I loved them.
Oh, that was great. All right, we're nearly there. We're nearly there, listener. Now it's time for the Hall of Fat Fame. Hall of Fat Fame. Sharifa, who makes you feel fabulous? Who should be in the Hall of Fat Fame?
The Hall of Fat Fame. I love Adele. I feel like Adele should be in the Hall of Fat Fame, although she's not as curvy as she used to be.
No, but she's. I think she's a curvy champion.
Yeah.
I love that the two biggest people, not literally, but the two most successful singers in the UK at the moment are Adele and Ed Sheeran. So it's sort of a big curvy girl from South London and a ginger.
That's it.
Like, they're not, you know, your classic kind of hotties.
Hashtag
but they are fucking hot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Adele, definitely. We love you, Adele.
Yes.
And then finally, it's time for... Fatspiration. What is your mantra? What do you live by?
Embrace yourself. Really love all your imperfections. I think as soon as you start loving your imperfections, you'll stop seeing them as imperfections.
Yeah.
You'll start just seeing them as another part of you, and you will definitely feel more beautiful, be able to embrace yourself.
Unbelievable. Sharifa J, you are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have come to the end of the podcast. I'm so sad. Thank you so much. Now, how can people follow you? Where can people follow you? What's your handles, etc.?
So you can follow me at Sharifa_J. And you can also take a look at our page, Shine for Diversity. Our hashtag is Shine for Diversity.
That's a number four, yes.
Number four. So you can take a look there and check out some of our short documentary on IGTV as well that
Excellent.
Talks about what Shine for Diversity is and what we're trying to achieve in the industry.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, you've been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's been hosted by me, Helen Thorne. The producer is Emma Corsham. Hello, this is the new producer. Hello, producer Maddie is now working somewhere else. She's fucked off. She's left me, but now I've got a new lover, so that's good. Anyway, the music you've been listening to today is by John Thorne and the jingles by Simon Toner. Please do rate, review and subscribe. And thank you for listening once again. Excellent. I think we're going to end the podcast there. You've been a wonderful listener. You person listening. Okay, bye.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.